store with the dating doctor. Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my fiance and co-host today,
Dr. Frank Powers. Our book will be out on Valentine's Day, February 14th.
Right. And the book is called Love, The Secrets of Senior Dating. Kind of talks about our trajectory and our experience. Well, Frank, we've got some great friends on today, don't we?
Oh, yes. They're fun.
It's going to be great because we need a tip on relationships.
Oh, gosh, do we need tips.
After loss, Linda and Charlie Bloom. And the Blooms have written and published a number of books, including 101 Things I Wish I Knew When I Got Married, which sold over 100,000 copies. And their most recent book is The End of Arguing, yeah. 101 Valuable Lessons for All Relationships, which has won a Titan Book Award. Linda and Charlie have an organization called Bloomworks, and it's dedicated to promoting healthy, fulfilling, and successful relationships for individuals, couples, and organizations. They provide a large range of services, including psychotherapy, marriage counseling, consulting, and leading seminars. Their expertise in relationships is not only based on their professional experience, Frank, but also on a 54-year committed relationship. All right. Nice. Well, welcome to the show, you guys, Charlie and Linda. We're so glad to have you on today. So do you guys have some tips to become conscious of their relationship? Yeah. Here we are, seniors coming together. Is it different for seniors than young couples?
Well, I think the awareness is higher that you don't have any time to waste. And we tell this to people in their 20s, 30s, 40s, and it's certainly true for those of us 60s, 70s, and 80s, to get real early in the relationship. And don't dilly-dally around with, you know, trying to do the looking good presentation. Mm-hmm. Just be yourself and talk about what you feel and talk about what you need and, you know, be emotionally honest really early in the relationship.
The sooner you can really bring your authentic self into the relationship, sooner you're going to find out whether or not you're a good fit for each other. And, you know, as you mature, it becomes increasingly obvious that you ain't got any time to lose here.
Yeah.
And what you don't want to lose is time spent communicating and being present with each other in ways that really allow you to express yourself openly and honestly, and to invite the other person to do the same thing. And the key word here is invite. You're not trying to get them to open up. You're not trying.
It's not an interrogation.
No, it is not an inquisition. It is not an interrogation. You don't want the other person to feel, you know, like, you know, you're scrutinizing them. And I think that one of the benefits of recognizing that we don't have a moment to lose in terms of living our life the way we really want to live it with the person that you want to live it with, is a key factor that inevitably is going to amplify your motivation to be honest, to be real, to be sincere, and authentic, which that in itself is the invitation. You know, it's not like you have to get this information from the other person, but being that way will give them an awareness that this is a safe space. This is a place where I can reciprocate in the same way. And they may or may not do it. And either way, you're getting information about them.
Genuine curiosity about the other person and wanting to get to know them and get a feeling that you do care who they are, and they don't have to be like you. They can be different. They can have
absolutely, absolutely.
And I think it's true for most people that safety and security is very high on their priority list, and to set that as a foundation that we're going to be as honest and open and real with each other as we can. And you too probably know that this is controversial in the field, that there's a bunch of therapists who don't even really think that you should, you know, show up and be real early in the relationship. They say sometimes a few to several months that you keep sending your image. We're not from that school of thought. I even say, put your worst foot forward, do you know, and really talk some risky talk early on and you'll see, but that you don't expect anything from the other person that you're not willing to show up and risk yourself. It's a good rule of thumb to give what you want to receive. And getting out on the skinny branches, do you know, and talking some risky talk, like I'm still very in love with my dead husband and I don't know if I could love somebody again, or I'm not sure that I could love two, and I don't want to give up the love that I have for my beloved who died. And be in the question together.
I was married for 60 years. I meet you and I'm like, is this okay? I mean, in my own mind, I'm like, is this okay? I have feelings for this person, but what about, you know, Bill? Yeah. I mean, you know, how can I do this? And can I love you more? And you kind of, I think, have a balance in a way, which that person's not even in the picture. You have to realize that they're gone. There's no balance.
And Bill was wonderful because he gave you permission. I'm not sure that all people get permission to go ahead and have another relationship, but her husband really did
say that verbally, which is really a lovely thing to do.
Yes, it is.
You were blessed. How wonderful that he was able to help slick the way. And I think that that's the deepest form of love, that we don't want the person, you know, grieving and sorrow year after year and feeling lonely, that we would want them to go ahead should they find somebody that they wanted to love. And it doesn't mean any disrespect or disloyalty to us.
One thing that I think that you don't want to bring baggage into a new relationship. And if you don't talk about the things that you're going to bring baggage into it.
Of course.
And stuff that you're going to have to deal with later. But you know what? There are always surprises.
Yes.
I mean, even though you think you've told people something, there are surprises.
Yes, always surprises.
For sure, we're going to bring baggage, but by being honest and open and real with each other, we can unpack some of that heavy baggage.
Exactly.
It's really hard to talk about health, though.
Be clear about what you're willing to give and what doesn't feel right.
Right.
And if they go in for a surgery, some kind of medical procedure, and there's going to be a recovery period, if we don't want to be the nurse, that they have to make other arrangements. And, you know, just get everything as clear and out.
That's really an important one to put up front. How would you approach somebody and talk to them about that?
I'd say, I really want to be involved with you. And at our age, either one of us could have a medical procedure that would have recovery time. And I want to clear up any expectations that you might have, that I would nurse you for days or weeks or months. And so I just want to make it clear what you could count on me for. I'm not going to abandon you. I want to stay in your life, but I don't want you to expect me to be the nurse. Mm-hmm. I won't be cooking. I won't be cleaning your place. I won't be shopping. I won't be preparing food, and I won't be changing your bandages. Do you know that you'll have to hire a nurse or go to one of those facilities that will care for you? And when you're more well, we'll pick up our relationship then.
And even a family member can help you out.
How about we put a team and I'll be a member of the team, but I don't want you to have an expectation that I'm going to do this. That's not an of course. And it would be reciprocal. I wouldn't expect you to be shopping and cooking and cleaning and changing my bandages either. I want to just put this, you know, frankly, right up front here.
I think it's a great example of what a person could clarify. And I think these expectations need to be clarified. Sometimes we're not even aware of them ourselves until we actually start to look at it and then, you know, let the other person know, well, here's what you can and cannot count on.
That's people. Right.
And so this example is not necessarily a template for what everybody should say, but it's an example of
one option.
What works for Linda. And, you know, I think the real question is, how willing am I to be honest with myself about what my expectations are, about how much I'm willing to give, about where that line is for me, about what my concerns might be about having my generosity exploited. You know, it requires a fair amount of self-reflection to even have a conversation. So I think that's one of the main requirements in terms of a successful relationship, particularly, you know, at a later stage in life, is the willingness to be honest with yourself and to put that out there. Because for a lot of us, we're not as honest with ourselves as we could be. And even if we are, there may be some reluctance in exposing that, you know, I do have certain conditions that I'm not willing to violate. We may be afraid that this, you know, I really want this relationship, but I'm afraid that if I let them know that there's a limit to how much I can give, then they may not, they may have second questions about me. So it requires a willingness, as all relationships do, to take risks and to expose parts of us that could be subject to judgment or even rejection.
What would you say from your experience about how to help people with that question of getting married or not getting married?
I think that it's very important, as Charlie was saying, to tell the truth to ourselves. Mm-hmm. If marriage is important, to state that, frankly. And if marriage isn't that important and we feel more comfortable without the marriage, to tell the truth about that. And it doesn't have to be deal breaker material. Maybe one person stretches more into the other person's world, whoever is more firm about their belief. Do you know, marriage is going out of vogue at every age. Mm-hmm. There are more non-married women in the United States than any ever time in history, you know, because of this phenomenon. And when my mom died, my dad did partner with someone else, and she was open to getting married to him, and he was open to getting married to her, and her children put the kibosh on it because of the huge amount of money that her husband had left her. And they told her mom, it's too dangerous. Even if you have prenuptial agreements, they get a sharp attorney and they fight. Do you know what you wanted it to be in the prenups? And so they never did get married. But aside from the financial...
Did that work for them?
It worked for them, yeah. Aside from the financial part, there's some people, you know, that it's a moral or a religious or a spiritual thing. Sure. And I think you have to have a lot of very open and frank conversations until you find a place that you can land together.
But I hear from you and your sage advice is that it's not necessarily given anymore. It doesn't have to be that way. It's really a choice.
That's exactly right. And we wrote this book, 101 Things, you know, that we wish we knew when we got married. And one of the most controversial ones in the whole collection is a marriage is anything two people agree to. And we got pushback about that, but no, there's guidelines about relationships and this and that. And I think there's some people who are very conservative about following the rules. And then there are all these liberal progressives on the other side. And hopefully you're finding somebody whose values are similar to your own, and you will find a place where you can peacefully coexist with whatever decision that you make.
Charlie, what's your thought on that?
I think it's really important and not easy to get out of the binary position of marriage or not marriage, or it's right or it's wrong to be in a relationship without marriage, to be living together. And, you know, so many of us have held certain beliefs maybe that are fundamental to our family culture or to our religion.
But we have friends too that are of that belief. So
yeah,
that makes it difficult.
And so we're getting kind of validation and reinforcement from the people around us. And you know, we could fear that making a decision that would require us to challenge or to go against some of those beliefs could have an impact on our relationship with some of these other people that are important to us too. So it's a complex situation, and it's not one that's got a generic right or wrong answer to it. You know, it's really like what Linda said, it's about being honest with our partner or potential life partner about where we stand, and not making them right or wrong for however they see it. And sometimes, you know, the harder we try to convert them to our view, the more alienated they get, because, you know, they feel pressured. And sometimes if we can just be respectful that we do have these two different views and it seems irreconcilable now, that doesn't necessarily mean that our relationship is irreconcilable. It does mean that right now we're kind of stuck here in a place where we don't see any options other than right or wrong. But that doesn't mean that that couldn't change.
Well, we're fiancés and we have a marriage license and a prenup.
And we do have prenup. and we decided, you know what?
This is we're not ready. I don't know.
I like it.
We have everything sitting here.
I love my fiance.
It has to feel right, and you have to be ready. And it's not something that should ever be forced. There's a lot of research about the couples who live together. You know, they've got a committed partnership and they live together. They throw their lives together versus the married ones. And the statistics are very clear that the married ones, their relationships are lasting longer. They're happier. They get the health benefits and financial benefits and all of those. But I haven't seen the breakdown for age groups. Mm-hmm. That's for all.
This is all so new. We're not getting the research out. You know, it's just new.
Pew Research is just not all that available.
Yeah.
Up until now, there really haven't been large numbers of healthy people in their 60s, 70s, and 80s who are healthy enough to have another relationship. I mean, in 1900, the average lifespan was 46 years of age.
Right.
Now we have 30 more years, and most of that is healthy. And if you lose a spouse through divorce or death, you probably don't want to, and it's not all that healthy to stay single those 30 years.
That's right. I have a hypothesis about it. When they do the research, what I'm hoping they're going to find and what I think they're going to find is that the other couples, the older ones, mm-hmm. they don't fit into the younger couple category. That mm-hmm. the younger couples, you know, if it works out, we love each other, we'll stay together. If not, I'm walking and find somebody better. But the older couples have been around the block. And when they make, you know, a personal commitment to each other, that it's stronger than the younger couples who are kind of blasé about commitment. That they realize that you really have to show up and pay attention and tell the truth when you're going to be in a committed partnership, whether it's a legal thing or it's not a legal thing. And that there are fragile hearts that can really be suffering here if you don't really care for each other.
If you really have a disagreement about something, give us a couple of negotiation tips. Because I know in your book, you've got so many great different models and different ways.
Well, I think that whenever there's a difference, it always pays if you can to get below the topic that you're arguing about. The real issue is not the one that you're arguing about. You know, it's not about sex, it's not about money, it's not about the in-laws, it's not about that. It's more likely to be about issues like control or the desire for it or fear or
caring about me and respecting my wishes.
Right. Trust. You know, these are the issues that are going to really help you to get beyond the binary. You're right. or I'm right. And to really look at what is it that is that you experience about this situation, and what are the feelings that that's bringing up to you? And when we can get to that level, it doesn't mean that we're all of a sudden both going to get on the same page, but it does mean that we have a better idea of how to address this difference. It's rarely about that particular issue. It's that's triggering something in you that you need to be clear about and to be able to talk about, because that will in some ways free your partner to be more understanding of why you feel the way you do. And they will then likely become more motivated to accommodate that desire. And when we feel blamed, we're going to get defensive.
Everybody can see right now how fabulous it is to be with these two. And yes, they do wonderful conference things. Tell us about what you're doing.
Well, we're getting ready to go to Kripalu, and we're going to teach there two times this year. Kripalu is a personal growth center. They train yoga teachers there also. It's in the Berkshire Mountains of Massachusetts in Lenox.
And it's a fun getaway. I've been there before.
Oh, fabulous place. And food so good. Yeah. And we are blessed to teach there once or twice a year. So if people miss us in February, we're going to be back there in October. And in between our two times at Kripalu, in May, on Memorial Day weekend, the last weekend in May, we'll be teaching in Big Sur, California at Esalen Institute. So the first
lovely place. I love the baths there.
It's beautiful. Scenic views of the ocean right on the banks of the Pacific. So we're teaching Secrets of Great Relationships, which is our most popular course. We're going to be teaching that February and May. And then in October, we're going to be teaching Love, Sex, and Intimacy at Kripalu.
Oh, tell people where they can get your books and your website.
Well, our website is Bloomwork, Bloomwork, no S, Bloomwork. And we've got tons of information on there. We've got a lot of podcasts. We've got a YouTube channel that's got several dozen different talks that we've done, and our workshop schedule, blogs that we've done.
10 million hits on Psychology Today.
Yeah.
Wow, I like that.
Yeah. Awesome. A lot of material there.
Three free ebooks.
Yeah.
On our website, if people sign up to be on our email list, and we only send out a booster shot of inspiration once a month, so they won't get inundated with a lot of email.
I like that, a booster shot.
Yes.
Hey, I want to thank you guys for being on the show today. You're amazing and very inspirational.
Yes.
We want to thank everybody for joining us on this show today. And Frank and I always want to remind you that if you've lost hope, please lean on ours until you find your own. And God bless. Open to love.